Today, we're diving into something that honestly governs pretty much every piece of media you see. Forget the cool camera angles for a sec. We are talking about the client brief, that really dense document sometimes that acts as the absolute blueprint for any creative project. Doesn't matter if it's a huge ad campaign, a film, even a music track.
Exactly. And for anyone who commissions media or, you know, creates it, getting your head around the brief, that's like the ultimate professional shortcut. So our mission today is basically to give you that shortcut. We're going to pull apart the essentials of the things that absolutely must be in these briefs. Think company ethos,
yeah.
Those super strict logo rules.
Right.
We'll look at how the whole tone shifts, you know, formal versus informal briefs, and then use some real examples like Apple and the holiday company Jet2, just to show how these requirements really shape what we all end up seeing.
Okay, let's set the scene a bit. Because this whole media supply chain, it really kicks off with the client.
Mm-hmm.
That's the company, maybe a charity, could be an individual. They're the ones holding the purse strings, commissioning the work.
Yeah, and if you map it out, it's quite a clear chain of command, really. Starts with the client, right?
Yeah.
They translate their need into specific client requirements.
The brief.
The brief, exactly. Those requirements. They land with the production company. They make the thing. Then it goes to the broadcaster. And finally, pop, it reaches the audience. And success. It's judged purely on whether that final product actually met those initial requirements laid out by the client. Simple as that, really.
So what are those requirements, the core components of this blueprint? It can get pretty detailed, but we sort of boiled it down. There are about 7 key things that are just fundamental.
Yeah, foundational is the word. You absolutely need the type of product defined, print, video, film, audio, whatever. The purpose, like, why are we doing this in the first place? Super important. The target audience, maybe the most crucial bit.
Definitely.
Then you've got the identity stuff, client ethos, their values. They'll often give a content outline or a basic idea. Define the required theme, genre, style, and, well, obviously the time scale.
Hmm.
Deadlines for pre-production, production itself. That's pretty standard.
Okay, let's unpack that a little because, yeah, time scales, product type, fairly straightforward. But where it gets really interesting, I think, is where the requirements start to, well, constrain the creative side. Let's maybe look at 2 of the big ones. Ethos and style. These feel like the client's sort of hidden hand guiding things, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Client ethos is critical. Every organization, big or small, has these guiding values, this core belief system. And their media just has to reflect that.
Yeah.
100%. If the marketing stuff contradicts what they say they stand for, the project's a failure. Doesn't matter if it wins awards. That ethos, it shapes their vision, their products, everything.
And the classic example everyone knows is Apple. Their entire brand identity kind of flows from that one simple idea. We believe in the simple, not the complex. It's not just, you know, some nice phrase on a wall. It translates directly into hard requirements for design and therefore for the media showing that design.
Precisely. Simplicity isn't just a preference there. It's a non-negotiable parameter. You see it everywhere in their products, which the media then has to show accurately. You know, very few physical buttons, those big evenly spaced icons using Face ID or fingerprint scanners, even the old single button mice. The creative team just cannot make a visually cluttered, complicated ad for a company whose core value is simplicity. It wouldn't make sense.
Right. It'd be totally off-brand. Okay, let's talk purpose. Because when you really strip everything else away, the fancy visuals, the music, the goal of most commissioned stuff, especially ads, it basically boils down to just 3 things.
It's surprisingly limited, yeah. First and most common, sell more stuff.
Mm.
Product, services, you name it. Second, thinking charities, nonprofits, increased donations. And third, often government-related, increase public awareness about something. And it's worth noting, almost always, the ad tries to hit that purpose by tapping into some kind of emotion in the audience.
Yeah, that emotional hook. Okay, now the style component, this often lives in the company's, like, house style guide or brand guidelines. This document is the absolute Bible for the production team, isn't it?
Oh, totally. The Bible's a good word for it. It covers every tiny visual detail you can imagine. They'll specify the exact colors right down to the hex code or the Pantone reference.
Wow.
They dictate the fonts, the sizes, how slogans have to be placed. But the bit that I found really fascinating, the list of very specific restrictions on using the logo. This is where, you know, creative freedom can sometimes feel like it hits a wall.
I saw that list too. It's almost intimidating. It really shows how much creative choice is actually removed before anyone even sketches an idea. What restriction on that list do you think kills creativity the fastest?
Hmm. Good question. I think maybe the biggest constraint is just being told what you can't do visually. Like, you might be forbidden from distorting the logo in any way. or changing its color, maybe to fit a mood, or moving parts of it around, or using the text without the graphic element, or even letting it get too close to other things on screen or making it too small. These aren't just suggestions, they're contractual obligations. It's all about maintaining that brand integrity consistently everywhere.
So, okay, we've got this, what are the brief, the rules, the non-negotiables. Now let's talk about the how it's delivered, which brings us to formal versus informal briefs. The language and tone are the big difference here, right? Because a written brief isn't automatically formal.
That's a really key distinction, yeah. You can have a written brief that feels quite informal, the formal ones. They often pop up when a project is put out to tender. They use very specific, often technical language, commercial terms, loads of detailed restrictions and limitations.
What's the upside of being that rigid, though?
Well, formal briefs usually aim for a very specific, tightly controlled outcome. Remember that Reebok example. A formal brief might be purely about driving awareness for a specific discount, like 25% off Easy Tone trainers. It's very clinical, very precise. It leaves very little room for interpretation because the goal is purely transactional. Get people to use the discount.
Makes sense. So on the flip side, what makes a brief informal?
Usually shorter, more casual language, fewer hard restrictions generally. The production team is kind of expected to fill in some blanks. Informal briefs often rely on the producer already knowing the client's product well, or maybe they've worked together before. They're not starting completely cold.
Gotcha. But regardless of the format, just having a brief, whether it's super formal or more relaxed, brings huge advantages structurally.
Oh, absolutely. You nail the brief, you get clear agreement up front, everyone's on the same page. That means planning can be way more efficient. And it actually does grant creative freedom, but it's freedom within those agreed boundaries.
Okay, but let's be real for a second. The brief looks great on paper, but what happens when the client wants, I don't know, a Hollywood blockbuster campaign, but only has a tiny budget?
Yes. The necessary reality check. While the brief is usually written down and sets the creative terms, negotiation is almost always part of the process, especially if there's that mismatch between the client's vision and what their budget can realistically achieve. The tension, even the most formal brief, can't magically solve that on its own. It takes discussion. And really, all this effort getting the ethos right, choosing the format, defining the style, it all points back to one critical thing, the audience. Target audience segmentation. That's the bedrock. It lets you focus the media product so it connects precisely with the intended consumer.
And we break that audience down into specific buckets, right?
Yeah.
Categories that actually dictate design choices.
That's right. We typically segment by things like age, gender, occupation or income level, education, location, and crucially, interests and lifestyle. These characteristics shape everything. Think about it. If you're doing ads for a really high-end restaurant in a wealthy neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, the required design for the menus, the ads themselves, it all needs to be refined, elegant. It has to match the income and the lifestyle expectations of that specific target group.
Okay, let's tie all these threads together now. Ethos, purpose, style, segmentation, using that Jet2 Holidays campaign example.
Right. So Jet2 Holidays, they sell package holidays flights. They task their agency, which is called Home, I believe, to create a new campaign.
Well.
And the agency came up with this core theme, Hold My Hand.
Okay, and what was the core purpose they needed to achieve with that?
It was sort of twofold, and definitely aiming for emotion. One, inspire people, get them dreaming about travel. Two, showcase lots of different magical holiday moments. And they met the style requirement partly through, like, an uplifting soundtrack, lots of energy, showing diverse, happy experiences.
And here's where the segmentation gets really clever, I thought. They didn't just make one ad and hope for the best. They actually filmed different versions based on the same core idea, but tailored them.
Precisely. That's the key. They kept the central Hold My Hand theme consistent, but created distinct versions. So one version specifically aimed at families, showing a little boy holding his parents' hand. Another one focused on younger couples. And a third targeted older couples. The theme, the ethos, the style, all consistent. But the execution was segmented. It ensured the ad spoke directly to whichever specific group was watching. And that really is the end point of translating those sometimes rigid client requirements into effective, flexible media. Hashtag tag outro.
That was a fantastic look behind the curtain. So the key takeaways seem to be client requirements are that non-negotiable foundation shaped by ethos, style, purpose. And also remember that the brief's format, formal or informal, really sets the stage for how much background knowledge the production team needs and how much creative wiggle room they might have.
Exactly. And we saw how a well-applied theme, like Hold My Hand, can bridge the gap between the product itself and the audience's feelings, their lifestyle. So maybe a final thought for you to mull over. Think about a famous brand, well, maybe clothing, shoes, trainers, whose ads you've seen lately. Beyond just showing the product, what's the main theme they're pushing? Is it about ambition, rebellion, comfort, community, something else? And then try to connect that theme to one of those audience segments we talked about, maybe based on interests or lifestyle. How are they targeting? Understanding that link. That's how the brief ultimately defines success in the real world.
That really is the power of the blueprint, isn't it? Setting those firm boundaries that somehow end up defining creative success. Keep synthesizing this info. Keep looking for those requirements in the media you consume. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.